You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
What a great blessing to be able to sing those songs and to think about Christmas and to get our hearts right. You know, Christmas brings out special things. We wear special things. I don't think there's been so much red and green worn in Houston, Texas on one day than these couple of days, which is so awesome and exciting. And the songs that we sing are special. Maybe you've got a special meal coming out later on or coming up, some dessert, whatever it is, special presents, kids underneath the tree, which will be great. So many special things, special china, special forks, knives, all of those sort of things. Well, I found something in my family that was really special, and it is a Bible. Obviously, that's special on its own, but it's a New Testament, and it's of my great aunt. She is in heaven now, but it's of her New Testament, and I want to show you a picture of it here so you can see it. It is got an inscription in the front of it from 1931. Let me show you this inscription. Her name was Joy. Aunt Joy was my aunt, so Joy you can see at the top. I love this inscription. With love, and hoping your little heart grows to be a big heart full of love for Jesus. Christmas, 1931, Mrs. Tabb. Now, I don't know where Mrs. Tabb is. Well, hopefully Mrs. Tabb's in heaven. I do know where Mrs. Tabb is. She's not alive, I doubt now. But to have that maybe Sunday school teacher or whoever it was to have that Bible to say to my aunt who was about 9 years old at that time, 1931, the Bible's probably over 100 years old, the inscription's almost 100 years old, and to write in there and to say basically something special I want to give you on Christmas. More special than the food, more special than the plates, more special than the presents. I want to give you this little Bible. And my hope is, as she wrote there, that Joy, what a perfect name for Christmas time. Joy, my hope is that your little heart will become a big heart filled with Jesus, 1931 Christmas. And I want to give us three things to make our little heart grow to be big hearts for Jesus. So you've got some type of heart for God or some type of heart for the Lord, or you wouldn't be watching right now and you wouldn't be here right now. But to how do we make those little hearts? How do we get that little heart to grow a bit bigger and to grow in our relationship with God, to have even more special of a Christmas because we know what it's really about, not just all the fixins, but it's about God doing the fixin in our heart and making some changes in our lives and doing some great things in us. Now, I want to show you in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. Now, let me show it to you in this Bible just so you can see it. It's the same thing. That's Matthew chapter 2. I would read it out of this Bible, but the print is so small, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it quite as well, and it would be a lot harder for you to understand. So I got a big old fat Bible here that we're going to read it out of. And here we have in Matthew chapter 2, first book of the New Testament, second chapter, talking about when Jesus entered planet Earth, was born, here he is. Now, we're going to look at the three wise men is what we're going to look at. Now, the wise men weren't there on the day that Jesus was born. They came a little bit later. I'll show you two clues that show us that. But we're going to look and learn some things from some wise men here. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, so we know it wasn't on the right at the moment he was born, they were there. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east in Jerusalem, saying, where is he, now notice this, who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star rising and have come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So here we have a juxtaposed, if you will. We got wise men here, and those are the good guys. They're wearing the white hat. And then we've got here King Herod. He's the bad guy. He's wearing the black hat. And these are two absolutely different types of folks happening here. So the wise men are thrilled about what God is doing. And Herod is threatened about what God is doing. When Jesus was born king, Herod's like, wait a minute, I'm the king, and I don't want anybody taking over my kingdom. So he's threatened by that, and he's going to go to, I'll tell you a little bit later, some really, really way down bad stuff to make that not happen, to try to prevent Jesus from being on planet Earth. And so we have the wise men, and we have Herod. Now, here's the question that brings to our little hearts. If we're going to have little hearts that become big hearts for God, we've got to answer this question. Here it is. Are we thrilled or threatened by God's involvement? Are we filled and thrilled with God's involvement in our life? Or are we a little bit threatened about God's involvement in our life? And you know what? If you're a human being, which I'm guessing you are, it's probably both. There's a little bit of us, it's like, oh, I want God to do great things in my life. I want God to direct me. I want my life to have purpose. I want to live for Him. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to know that I'm pleasing Him. I want His kind of wind in my sails. And then there's another part of us that says, I don't know if I want God involved in my life. I kind of like having my hands on the wheel. I like holding on to things because if God's involved in my life, if Jesus is involved in my life, well, then He may take me someplace I don't want to go. What if He calls me to do something I don't want to do? And we end up with this question, and it's really Herod symbolizes the threatened. And I know you're not like battle Herod. I get that. But the wise men symbolize they're thrilled. They're thrilled. I'll show you that in just a little bit in the scripture. Herod's power was threatened, and he's so threatened, he's going to do evil, and the people know it because he's a bad guy. That's why it said, I read to you in verse 3, it says, and Herod was deeply disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So he was like really upset, and all of Jerusalem is bracing because Herod is a man that's brutal, he is evil. And if he's upset, everybody's just gonna lock their doors. Now what Herod's gonna do, he's so threatened. If you read further on in Matthew, this very chapter, there's what happens called the massacre of the innocents. And Herod calls for all of the boys under 2 years old that have been born in Bethlehem up to 2 years old, for all of them to be killed so that Jesus couldn't come. Well, God's got a plan for that. And you know, Jesus came and we know that and we've got that. But that's how evil this guy is. And so he is threatened, not thrilled. And so I just ask us, are we threatened by God in our lives? Are we threatened by Christ in our lives? Or are we actually thrilled? God loves us so much that He sent Jesus for us. He loves us so much. He's got a plan for our life. He loves us so much. He wants to not just be with us. He wants to live inside of us. And that should be something that we go, wow, little old me. I can have God in my heart, God guiding me. Jesus loves me. He could take care of me and see me through all the troubles and things in my mind and things in my heart and things around me. We should be thrilled for our little hearts to become big hearts for Jesus. Now, let me give you just an example in my life. I didn't come to know Christ as my Savior until I was 16 years old, and I just graduated high school. I was about 18, and I was going off to college, and I went on a mission trip with my church student ministry, and so I got to Montana of all places, and so we drove from Houston to Montana. That's a long trip. So we made it to Montana, and we're there, and I remember praying one night at the end of our times together that we had, and I was praying, and I felt like God was asking me to go into vocational ministry. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, you're in ministry. We minister to people. All of us minister to people. But some are in vocational ministry. That's what I do. That's my vocation, to do ministry. And I remember saying to the Lord, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And I kept saying, no, no. And I felt threatened. All my plans of going into college with all those plans, what I was going to do, they felt threatened. And then finally, I said this simple phrase. This is how you move from threatened to thrilled. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Just what Jesus said on the cross, or actually in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done. And that threatened moved to more thrilled. And I want you to know, it's the thrill of my life to be your pastor. What a joy to be able to do this. What a blessing to be able to be a part of that. That's awesome. Yeah, amen. It works better if you're glad I'm your pastor too. That works out better too. But it's a thrill, it's a joy. Now, I'm not just saying you need to go into vocational ministry, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying surrender brings a thrill. Hanging on brings a threatened. And really, surrender, this would be the sign language sign for surrender would be this. But what do? We don't let go and do this, we do this, right? Okay, Lord, I'll give you a little bit, I'll give you a little bit, I'll give you a little bit. Man, I'm telling you, be a wise man or a wise woman and release and let that thrill happen. But it doesn't just stop there. Verse 4 through 8, here's what it happens as they are surrendering. They say this then in verses 4 through 8. It says, so he assembled, this is Herod, all of the chief priests and scribes of all the people, and he asked them, where's the Messiah? Where would he be born? So Herod's getting all the smarty pants around him and saying, I want all the muckety mucks to come and tell me, where is this Savior supposed to be born? And they say, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because of this, it was written by the prophet. This is 500 years before Jesus is born, a prophecy. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. Because of you, you will come a ruler and who will shepherd my people Israel. Then it goes further, and Herod secretly summoned the wise men. Hey guys, come over here. And asked them the exact time. When was that star? When did you see that star, guys? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said this, watch this. Go and search and find the child. And when you find him, report back to me so that I can go and worship him. That's the biggest lie that's ever been told. You think Herod was going to go and find that child and worship? Herod's going to worship Jesus? No, he's trying to find the child so he can actually remain king. His power's threatened. So he's going to find the child. Hey, you guys, come over here. Okay, we had all our scholars get together. They told me it was in Bethlehem. You guys come here. When y'all find the child, just tell him that I'm coming. Herod wants to see him, and I'm going to come and worship him. Y'all come back and tell me, and everything's going to be great. No, he wants to find him so he can go and kill him so he can end up being king and continue to be king. Well, good news. You can't kill God. That's the deal. He's going to outsmart you. And so Herod is lying right here. He's lying right here. Can you imagine if you're in nativity, if you had Mary and Joseph and you had a little sheep and he had an angel, he had a wise man, he had a camel and Herod right there. Can you imagine that? That every Christmas your wife's like, hey, has anybody seen Herod in the nativity? We're looking for King Herod. Anybody got a Herod? No. A little ornament of Herod. No, Herod would be like, you know, maybe like a horror movie type of thing there with Herod in it. So here Herod is lying. So how do we have a big heart for Jesus? First of all, we're thrilled that God wants to be involved in our life. And second, we're guided by truth, not by lies. We're guided by truth, not by lies. The wise men are guided by Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It's a 500-year-old prophecy. And Herod is guided by his own I want, I need, and I'm going to get decisions of the day. And so we've got to be guided by truth, not by lies. Now, our world is filled with lies, filled with lies. You know, the Bible actually says that the devil is the father of lies. So the devil's the father of lies. There's lies all over the place. Let me tell you a couple things from the truth statement that I just want to give you. If I can just give you a few things. Number one, I want to tell you it's true. God is real. It's true. So if you hear there's no God, that's a lie. God is real. Number two, I want you to know truth. Jesus Christ is his son. He sent Jesus Christ to be our savior, to walk the earth, to forgive us of our sins by dying on the cross and rising again. Christmas and Easter are connected. So God is real. Jesus is real. Sin will destroy you. Number three, sin will destroy you. Sin is bad for us. It's bad for all of us. It's bad for society. It's bad for your neighborhood, for you, for your own heart, for my own heart. Sin's bad for us. Number four, Jesus is the savior from sin. That's the truth. You don't try to work your way to heaven. You don't say, well, I'm going to go to church enough. And if I go to church enough, then I'll get forgiven from by God. Let me tell you what, I go to church more than any of y'all, okay? I'm at church all the time. But it's not based on going to church. It's based on a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So Jesus can save us from our sins. And then the last thing that's the big bow on it, number five, I want to tell you is this. God loves you. He loves you. He's got an amazing plan for you. He's got amazing stuff. Anything he's taken away, he's trying to keep you in a place of health, not hurt. And so God loves you. And I just want you to hear this again. God loves you and he also likes you. He wants to be with you. He wants to connect with you. He created you. He loves you and he likes you. So let's be guided by truth, not by lies. That's what's going to get our heart growing and really walking with God in that way. Don't follow the lies. Don't believe the lies you even tell yourself. Believe the truth that God is real. Jesus is real. Sin is bad. Jesus is the savior and God loves you and he likes you and he's got a plan for you. That, my friend, that is great news. That's better than a tree. That's better than snacks. That's better than music. That's better than anything we could ever have. It's eternal and it changes our lives. So wise men and women believe that there's a thrill to God's involvement in their life and that they should be guided by truth. And then the third thing I want to show you and the last thing is this. It's found in verse 9. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was. You know what it is? The star. They had seen its rising, and it led them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. How miraculous is that? A star stops over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, listen to this, just passionate language. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, that's our second clue that it wasn't in the manger, that it was later on. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees. They worshiped him and they opened up their treasures, opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, myrrh. And after being warned in a dream, God said, don't go back to Herod. After being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, God took care of them. They returned to their own country by another route. The third and final thing of a heart that's a little heart that becomes a big heart is this. Guided hearts become joyful hearts. Guided hearts become joyful hearts. So here we have, they're overwhelmed with joy. I want to count of three. I want you to say the word joy. One, two, three.
Joy.
One more time. One, two, three. It's amazing. Joy. And they were overwhelmed with boredom. We got to go to church. Right? Joy. God from heaven sent Jesus, his son, to us on earth that are trying to figure out how to get to heaven. He's the one that takes us to heaven. So they fall on their knees in worship. They don't try to protect their treasures. They give them away. Do you know that in 2022, Christians accounted for 70% of all of the philanthropy in the United States of America? Do you know that the church gave more than the U.S. government to help people in poverty, in global poverty? Church gave more than the U.S. government in helping global poverty. So what is that? That's we give. So they give these gifts. Amazing. They give gold. Why would they give gold to a baby? They give gold because he's a king and you give gold to a king. They give frankincense to a baby. What is incense? It's to represent the prayers of the saints going up to God. They give incense to this baby because he's a king with gold and he's incense, he's God. So they give him a gift to symbolize that he's God. And then number three, and finally, they give him myrrh. What is myrrh? Myrrh is a spice that you use to embalm a body. They gave him gold as a king, frankincense as God, and myrrh because he would die for their sins on the cross. Prophecy, right here. They knew who this guy was. This one's just a little guy. And so we give. We're not to be selfish. We're to be selfless. We're not to be protecting. We're to be giving. We're not to be angry and stressed in this season. We're to be joyful and giving to others and surrender to God. So let's be wise men and women. Can you imagine how this says it here? These are the wise ones. Now, wouldn't it be really discouraging if this was the dumb ones? So I was like, I want to tell you about the three dumb people that came to see Jesus, right? No, these are the wise ones. They were the wise ones. Herod's the one that made the mistake. So they gave. Now I got something really exciting to be able to tell you. We've been looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to telling you this. So give me just a little minute to try to build up to it and then tell you, because it's really an honor to you personally. We have four campuses. We have the Loop campus right at I-10 in Loop. You know where that is. We got Cypress campus up in kind of the Bridgeland area. You know where that is. We've got Siena campus down in Siena. You know where that is. Downtown. Every Houstonian knows downtown. We got a downtown campus there. So we just did some quick math and we added up, out of all the multiple Christmas Eve services we're going to do at all four of those campuses throughout Christmas Eve, we added up that we think there's going to be about 13,000 people. They're going to come to our church, one of our campuses, one of the services that are going to come. 13,000 people, they're going to be a part of Christmas Eve. And we started thinking about, you know, giving a gift. What could we do? How could we do this? So we had this idea. We said, you know what? Not everybody's got it as good as us. There's some folks that are going to go without food instead of gorging themselves on food. So here's what we did. In your honor for coming to church today, in your honor, 13,000 people is a gift. We've purchased 13,000 Christmas meals through the Star of Hope. So that every person, yeah, let's cheer for that. So that I could tell you this, by you coming, we wanted to give a gift to somebody in need in your honor. Doesn't that make you excited to think about that? 13,000 people that are gonna have a Christmas meal because you came to church, because I came to church, because we're here. And let me tell you what, guided hearts are joyful hearts. That's an amazing, amazing thing. As you pray over the food there in this Christmas time, pray and ask God to bless those folks that are receiving a meal and let God do his work through them. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Hey, don't tell me church is boring. Church is the most exciting place on planet Earth because we're making a difference for all of eternity. And we're talking about joy. And so if you want to be a wise man or a wise woman, I want to invite you to joy. Invite you to a heart that is thrilled that God loves you and wants to do something in your life. Not threatened, thrilled. And in that, Lord, I'm gonna believe the truth, not the lies that I tell myself or the world says about you or about me. I'm gonna believe the truth that you love me, that you're real, that you've got a plan for me, that sin is bad and it hurts me, and that you can save me and you can do your work in me. I'm gonna believe those things. And I'm going to let my heart be guided by you, just as the wise men were by the star, so that I could have overwhelming joy. Does that mean everything is easy? Absolutely not. But does it mean that God is with you in the difficult? Absolutely so. And so we come in joy. It's a little bitty Bible, 100 years old, telling you the same thing I just told to you here. I want to put that inscription up one more time so you can just see it and we can take it for our own. Joy. What a great name for an aunt. Joy. What a great name for Christmas. With love and hoping your little heart grows to be a big heart full of love for Jesus. Christmas, 1931. Good old Mrs. Tabb. God's using her. Amazing. So my hope for you is this, that your little heart would become a big heart full of love for Jesus because you're thrilled about his involvement in your life. You believe truth and you're guided by the joy of Christ. And that, my friend, changes Christmas. It makes it more special than any meal or any presents because it's eternally true. Let's pray together. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, maybe you're watching online or on television, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to pray and ask Jesus to save your soul, to forgive your sins. And what I'll do is I'll just lead you in a short prayer. With the whisper of your lips and the sincerity of your heart, you could just repeat after me. Turn your heart and your life to Jesus. If you'd like to do that, I invite you to pray with me. And say, Jesus, I know that I've sinned and done things wrong. I ask you for your forgiveness. Wash me clean and forgive me of my sin. Come and live in my little heart and make it a big heart filled with you. I place all my trust in you to save my soul. I believe in you alone. Your birth, your death, your resurrection, I place my trust there. Be my Savior. If you prayed that, you meant that with your soul, Jesus saved your soul. Now you'll learn to walk in him, to grow in him. If you already know Christ as your Savior, would you just pray, God, would you enlarge my heart this Christmas? Make my small heart a big heart for you. Would you stand with me and take your candles as we sing Silent Night together in just a moment?
Thank you.
So special to gather with all the hustle and bustle of our city. To just calmly hold a candle, sing Silent Night, and think about that Jesus Christ came to planet Earth because he loves us. He's thrilled about being a part of our lives and has the best in store for us. Take a moment and blow out your candle if you would. We are so glad that you have joined us. So glad those watching on television as well that you've joined us. And I just want to say to you on the count of three, Merry Christmas, for you to respond. 1, 2, 3. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Awesome. So glad you're here. Join us on a Sunday, any of our campuses, houstonsfirst.org. We'd love to see you back. And Merry Christmas. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.